Hello and welcome to the DeviantArt podcast. I'm your host, Matt Buchholz. You may know me as Gigi Matt B. And today we've got with us two amazing illustrators, artists, animators who have brought laughter and happiness to homes across the world through their comic, One of Those Days. Today we're excited to chat a little bit about their upcoming series, The Hardests. So please welcome Yehuda and Maya Devere. Welcome.
Yay! It's us!
Yay! Well, thank you for joining us. It's so exciting. I love that with technology now, we get to just talk with people from all the way around the world.
Thanks for COVID.
Yeah, the one thing that has brought us all together in a terrifying way.
Yeah. Hope to see you in person next year or tomorrow.
Please, I would love to come back over to Tel Aviv and visit. I think last time I was at Wix headquarters, you guys were working with them the first time around. So,
Yes.
So for people who may not know you, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves, tell everyone what you do, and get the rest of our audience to kind of know who you are.
Okay. You want to start?
Sounds like a good plan. Well, I'm Yehuda.
Hi, Maya.
This is my beautiful wife, Maya. And we are the creator of the comics, the web comics, One of Those Days. For you who don't know what it is, it's
this is One of Those Days. This is our life project in the past 4 years. This comics is what it started as a web comic that give a glimpse to our real life moments in a very funny and honest way.
And not filtered.
Yeah, unfiltered way. And because it's already 4 years, it kind of became a kind of like a cartoon reality show in a way. Exactly. We became parents, and now with the second baby almost, maybe in a few minutes. So we started to illustrate about everything basically that's going on with our lives. The funny parts, the less funny parts. We're very good at making things that are not funny, funny.
Yeah.
So we can learn how to deal with it.
I have a sick sense of humor.
Well, we're really excited to get to share that with everyone today. And we're also excited to announce that we've got a caption contest going with some of your art. The link is in our bio, and people can caption that art to win a Wacom One tablet. And it's exciting to get to give some art tools to people so that they can continue to level up their art. So thank you to you guys.
That's a good present.
Thanks to you guys for supplying that art and for Wacom for supplying the
tablet. Can we compete as well? We want the Wacom One too.
Can we compete?
I don't know. We'll have to check the rules. Also, we will have a Q&A at the end. So people who are leaving comments below know that we have a producer pulling those comments for us, putting them in a document. So at the end of this, we can go through and check that out.
Nice.
All right. So let's talk about The Hardest, because this is really exciting. It's not every day that people get to see all the work that goes behind what people do who are artists, and especially people who make a weekly content. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get that out there. Why did you want to share this with people?
You go first.
Okay. I'm always the first because
I was the first one.
Okay.
I'm the second.
Sure.
Yeah.
So The Hardest is a very, very different content from whatever we ever, from our comics, basically, from what we do. We started as a comic artist. We never, One of Those Days is a comic that we never thought it's going to see daylight. It was kind of a personal blog. And it turned out to be a live project and a fun life project that involves a lot of humor inside of it. And we began gathering a massive online network of followers. And today we have, I think, almost 9 million followers worldwide on social medias.
Which is really cool.
Which is a lot, which is fantastic.
We start with only 9 followers.
And everyone, and we get comments, we got a lot of comments that everything looks so, couple goals. Wow, everything looks so shiny from outside. Mm-hmm. Wow, you have the perfect life. You're creative for a living and just publish once a week an illustration. Everything is so pretty and nice. I want to be like you. I want to share the life. I want to experience the life like you do. And we felt like kind of superheroes, but we're actually not. We're a very normal people, like where you see us sitting right now. Yeah. This is our studio. This
yeah,
is like
our bed is right here.
almost. So our life are very normal, and we wanted to share that situation in a very honest and open way.
Yeah.
And to do the hardest series, online series, was it's actually a docu series that shows a glimpse into our real life behind yeah. the creation, which is
how it's like to be a creator.
Exactly.
How it's like to yeah. try to invent. No. How it's like to work from week to week and try to post different illustration and try to come out with something new and brand and funny every single week. I mean, it's not easy at all.
Yeah. People think that, oh my God, you have 9 million followers worldwide. You're probably very rich and you have a lot of work. And no, this is a very tough life.
Yeah.
Like as a freelancer, I'm sure that we have a lot of artists and creators right here with us, which we're so glad that you are here to tell you guys, this is a very hard work. You probably know that. Even us, that we have like this network of followers still, it's like a 24/7 job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. And it's a lot of the times not funny and yeah. not fun. And I think that
it's work.
Yeah, no, yeah. totally. We love our job. That's the reason we created the Heartist, to give you a glimpse how it's really like behind the scenes. Yeah. yeah.
So working with a film team to create this docuseries, what sort of things did you kind of see about yourselves that you were like, wow, we do that? Or like, what sort of things were you able to like really learn from?
I don't know how Maya is still married to me. when I saw myself at from the outside, let's call it this way, another view about myself when we work together. I mean, I'm a douchebag. I'm such a diva. And I was like, oh my God, I'm watching the footages and I was like, oh my God. Chill, man.
No, it's just we're both artists. So and artists generally artists are very lone people. We like to work alone. I totally get him, because to invite someone to be part of your creation is like part of your baby. It's like mm-hmm. your baby, right? When you're doing a creation, this is your child. And it's very hard to let someone inside of your creation. So I totally get him. It's not that I'm a very nice person always as well. And I think we manage to work together because we have no ego between us when we create. Because we have very different styles and everyone have his own strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, like, it's not that it's easy all the time, right? Like, we have a lot of struggles, but we already know after 4 years what's everyone special skills. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to combine them. So we have half of the time we have no ego, but it's the important half.
Yeah, you've got to find that perfect balance between the two.
Yeah.
And it premieres next week on the 25th, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The
Which
first episode.
Yeah, and the trailer dropped this morning for us, later for you guys in the evening. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which is
an
super exciting to see. If people yeah. watching haven't seen that after this, don't leave now. But after this, go watch that trailer. It's really cool seeing what you guys have done and what you do. And it looks like there's so much that gets shared there, which is really neat. Something that we always talk about on the podcast is how they appear on social media isn't always the truth, and it doesn't show you everything going on. You only see the perfect level. And so
yeah,
to
you
share
see
that,
the glamorous part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for you guys to be open and honest to share all that is something I think that's really special for the art community to get that insight of.
Yeah, well, we used to share our secret stories with illustration and put it on the social media, but we never done it with cameras.
Yeah.
With a camera crew that film us and watching us and seeing how it is to be.
I think we actually have in one of the, I'm not going to say which one, but in one of the episodes, you will see a glimpse of us looking at us from outside. Like we filmed ourselves working together with a camera. No one was in the room besides Yuda and me. And during us creating one of the most important illustrations that we did, which was the announcement of our second pregnancy. So we put a camera on the side and then we watched it later. And you will see it in the series and you will see how we react to how we're talking to each other. That's why Yuda say that he's a douchebag. No, he's not. It's a very hard.
You know what? Let him be the judge. When you see the episode, when you see the footage, you're going to be like, oh my God, this Yuda. What the hell?
I don't know.
You're not planning what's coming out of your mouth, because if you will have a filter about what you're going to say, you will always stay blocked. You have to move on. So we have to say what we have to say. And it's sometimes it's just not very pleasant.
You put it very good, in a very good way. Maybe I'm not such a douchebag.
I don't know. I've talked with you guys a couple of times already, and you have never given off any douchebag. So I think that you two are probably your harshest critics on that. But it's very cool getting to see all the work that went into creating One of Those Days and the book and everything that you guys are putting out. Also, there is a signed book for the caption contest as well, which is a really cool prize. So
this one,
guys,
there we go.
Yeah, it's not just a welcome one. We just published a new hardcover One of Those Days book with Random House, and we never, because of the COVID, unfortunately, we're never able to sign copies for other people. So this is going to be the first signed copy. So whoever wins this book is going to have the first signed copy of the hardcover of our new book. So.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah, number one.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker. It's not our signatures. No, I'm kidding.
You just have a stamp.
It's our signature.
Let's talk a little bit about how you guys got to this point to be in the position to get to do a docuseries and get to, really get to share your art with 9 million people. So when you started creating art and started making comics, what kind of led you to that point?
This is a good question.
I think it was a very long process, very, very long process, because as we said, when we started One of Those Days, we never thought it's going to be a business. It just came out to us in like a surprise. And we build ourselves during time. We just heard and listened our followers, our audience, what they would like to see. And from then we just grew and grew. Like, first of all, they asked, you asked books. So we made books, and then you asked for prints and merchandise. So we made prints and merchandise. And then you asked to see us and, face to face. So we started to go into events, to Comic Cons. And
we built lectures and workshops.
Exactly. So it was a long process of just listening of what the audience would like to see.
Yeah.
And we are obliged at least to try and make that happen, because you're the reason that we are here. Basically, without you guys, we will never be here.
Mm-hmm.
You are the consumer of our content, and we love that we can get up in the morning and just making you smile once a week with our illustrations. So we got a lot of comments, like I said, that people really interested about really see who is the real people behind those illustrations. How do they work? What are their secrets?
Secrets, yeah.
So we don't have any secrets, but we would love to share with you in the hardest, how do we work? And you will see that this is a very hard work that probably most of you are experiencing yourself. That's why we wanted to do that series. So that series was not actually, it was our wish to make it happen. It's not just that we waited for someone to come, can I do a doc about you? So no, it wasn't like that. We pushed for it to happen.
Yeah.
Like we do with everything. We pushed for the books to happen. We made the print happen. So we made everything happen.
Actually, when we were visiting Comic Cons and we were talking in our lectures about our work and lifestyle, we actually talked to the audience and tell them that what you see on social media is not how we live. It's not, we really giving the audience a glimpse when we do the workshops and we do the lecture, giving the glimpse about how it is to be a creator and try to do an illustration on a weekly basis. So actually, we when I think about it, we took our lecture, part of the lecture, and give them a small doco view about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody could see it.
Yeah. And it's a very tough process. Like every creator, we're the same like you. It's like two people factory, like we said. So the doco is actually we've made with amazing content maker like us. His name is Nirshan Hub. We are the most grateful people that he reached out to us and we work with him for 2 years now, and he's amazing. Content maker, and he asked, "Can I be the one?" about you? And he immediately said, "Yeah," because we are creating together from time to time, and just a beautiful combination. We said, "Yes," because a lot of people would like to see how it's really like to be a creator behind everything. So we made that happen for you.
Yeah, I think that gives back so much to the art community too, because like you said, art is very often a solo, lone wolf sort of time where you feel like you do things a certain way and you're not sure what else other people are doing. And to be able to share that and find that sense of like, oh, I'm not the only one feeling this way, or I'm not the only one experiencing this sort of thing with my art, is something really special. So it's really cool that you guys are doing that and that you pursued to do that so that the rest of the world could kind of understand as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, but we don't know how it goes. I mean, the series, the online series, we don't know if it would be viral or if it's going to be a huge hit on the internet. But we do it to give those creators and our audience the real view of how it's to be a creator and the with no bullshit and no filters. I mean.
The real struggles, the real fights, the real
people need to understand and need to see what it's like to be a creator and need to get to appreciate more creators and artists worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Like we used to have, we totally get like when artists and creators come to us, and we totally can relate to them when they say that people don't want to pay me any money because they think that this is my hobby, that I draw well.
Yeah.
No, but like we had the same experience until today, by the way, that people think, okay, this is your hobby. You do it like you just moved your hand and it's appeared. Like, why do I have to pay you money? Or why do I have to pay you so much money? It's because 30 years I practiced to be that good.
Yeah.
And no, I have that application that do that. No, okay, no. So go to upload that application and do it by
so why you call me?
Yeah, why do you call me? No, there's a reason that you came to me because I invested a lot of time and effort to become what I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so kind of along those lines, what sort of path did you guys take in your art to get to where you are now? Like, what sort of training did you take, or what sort of education did you pursue?
You want to go first? Because for me, it's very...
We draw very differently. Yuda is a full digital artist today,
mm-hmm.
even though he started from comics and European comics. American
I started
comics.
From sketch.
I draw only by hand, not digital.
Thank you.
I have to laugh quietly so that people can hear you. It's a skill that I've learned. So know that when you don't hear anything, it's me laughing very hard inside.
So I draw very realistic way, and you draw more comic.
Yeah.
He's doing a comics. He came from the comics world. He will explain about you later, but I think this is why we're very easy. Like, it's very easy for us to work with each other because we're not in a competition of styles or have a different opinion of how things need to look like in that style or other style. We kind of created a new style that combines both of our skills. So it's kind of like comics, but it's more realistic in a way with a lot of shading, a lot of like perfect anatomy or something, different angles, actions. We have a lot of references. We look not just on comics and art. We look at
everything.
No, at everything. We are very
infected.
We're inspired by film industry. We see a lot of movies, and so we have to be directors, scriptwriters,
character
design, illustrators, artists. We combine all of our skills to create those illustrations.
Fun fact about Maya: when we working together, Maya like to describe us as Yuda's golden hand and Maya's brain, which it's very accurate, because Maya is a pure genius. And I tell you why. You saw the movie Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
So there's the scene when he imagine in slow motion what he's going to do.
Yeah.
This is how I work with Maya. So
this is the first time I hear that, by the way.
So okay.
You didn't know he'd watched Sherlock Holmes until now.
You're gonna love it, because when we work, we sit down together, we're thinking about the sketch and the composition and whatnot. And after we gave ourselves a green light, I go sit on that desk and start working on the Wacom until I get to the point where I can't go any further because I'm not sure if I finished or not. And at this point, I'm telling Maya, listen, I get to the point when I need you to involve and give me your guidance. And then she goes like this. She sits, and same as Sherlock Holmes, she goes like, like this. She said, we need this. We need this color palette. We need this typography. We need this. And then zoom out. Okay. I need you to be my hands, to be the hands to my brain. How do you say it?
Yeah, I think in English it's like that.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Because he's the digital artist. He's like I said, he's the walking Photoshop, and so I can draw by myself, but I don't draw that style. This is a style that Yuda kind of created from both of our styles, mm-hmm. and he's the magic hand that create everything. So I always tell him. That's true. Wow.
I know.
So I always tell him, I need you to be the hands for my brain. So I try to explain myself, and he just know how to read what I think. We know each other for such a long time. I think we're together for over a decade, for 12 years, maybe 13. So he know exactly what I think. And sometimes I even cry, like emotional cry, when he's doing something that I don't need to say anymore. Like we used to work on that. Like just for example, we used to in the past, because I like addicted to typography, to type. Yeah. I have to, this is
You're
my
addicted.
Sweet spot. Yeah. This is my sweet spot.
When you see a great font with a perfect
I can
curling.
Cry. I can literally cry. And at the beginning, I used to sit with him for hours and just doing the type, which is not the illustration. It's just the type, you know, it's just the text bubble. Yeah. And today he already knows to do it by himself, but because he knows what I'm going to say. And when I come and I see like the perfect typography, I looked at it and I just like literally cry from excitement. I don't know. It sounds strange.
No, it's perfectly normal to cry from fonts.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, you guys do a lot of stuff where you talk about kind of art in one frame or a scene in one frame. So what have you guys learned in this time, and how have you combined your skills to kind of develop that style where you get to tell a story in one picture?
Well, we understand that our content should be delivered to people around the world, which they are from different cultures. They talking different language. They have a different sense of humor. And they live in a different socioeconomic status. And we need to address all of them with one frame.
So we understood, I think in the very beginning, we understood that we need to create an international language, international visual language. And because of all of the things that you just said, because our audience is worldwide, it's not just, I don't know, it speaks in different languages and different cultures and everything. So we knew that our subject, relationship and couples and real life, it's a worldwide subject. Like it's an international subject. Everyone experienced relationship. Everyone experienced today parenthood like us. most of the people. So our stories are international. So there is no reason why we can't create an international visual language.
Yeah.
We understood it like step by step. It was not easy at first, yeah. But we use a lot of tricks, a lot of graphic tricks. I will explain. Because we know today, like artists, we usually, like artists in the past usually posted or not posted, they published their work in galleries and, you know, they asked a lot of money just to buy their art. There was only one copy. Mm-hmm. So today the world worked differently. We have a digital art. Everything is on the internet. So we understood immediately that we can publish, we can advertise our art by ourselves for free on social media. And the way that social media works is that you have a feed. And according to your, patience, this is the time that you will put an effort about something that you see. So, for example, if I have a Facebook or Instagram, I can scroll the feed and I can, and as an artist, I need to be interesting enough. So while you scrolling the feed, I have 1 second to catch your eye for you to stop, do a like, maybe share, laugh, and then go back to your scrolling, which is ridiculous. Like we have 1 second to tell a whole story. So that's where the one frame, like the art of one frame came from. So we have a lot of tricks. For example, we know that we cannot rely on
rely on typography. You'll be in trouble.
Comics in the past was like the traditional comics is like strips with a lot of text, like text bubbles, which is fantastic, by the way, but for online, when people scroll the feed, that a lot of time doesn't have a lot of patience to stop and read every single, you know, box, every single bubble. So we understood that the language, like the illustration, the message is not relying on the text.
Yeah.
We have to deliver our message through other visual stuff that you will get it like that.
Body language, facial expression, exactly. Composition, exactly. Color palette.
So, for example, color palette. If you will see our art, it's not a realistic color palette. A lot of times, like for example, if we are in a stress, we will color the entire illustration in red because, yeah. Like, this is very stressful. Or if we're doing a diet, our entire illustration is going to be green. So we'll like our.
Or in a fight, it's going to be a dark palette.
Exactly. So we use a lot of graphic tools to deliver the message in 1 second.
Yeah.
That's really.
And by the way, I don't know if you know that. In Instagram, every single day, there is 100 million new posts. Every single day, just on Instagram. So if you think about it, we need to be, like, if we post once a week, one illustration, we need to compete with 100 million other posts for your
attention,
and then we needed to rest in your brain for an entire week until we create a new one. So yeah, it's not easy. We work very hard for you not to work like you need to rest.
That's a good headline.
Yeah, literally, like one in a million.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off. Yeah.
No, it's okay. I'm married. I'm used to. Sorry.
I'm not talking from now on.
No, you're doing great. You're doing a lot of material to drill about.
So I think one thing that a lot of people have challenges with or don't know that they like they're on the fence whether they may want or not is finding an art partner and someone that they can work with and have that sort of creative relationship with. So
yeah.
What sort of like aspects do you think people should look for to in like an art partner if they're trying to pursue one, whether they're an artist looking for a writer to work with or an inker looking for a pencilist or a colorist?
Yeah. Well, it may sound like a joke what I'm about to say, but try to think as yourself as Nick Fury building the Avengers. Okay? Now try to take all the Avengers and shrink it down to one person. So you need someone who can play the whole instrument in the band. You know, you don't need the drummer and the guitarist and the the singer and the pianist. You need someone who can do all of this stuff in a very high level. So it's not easy to find this person. And if you don't find this person, you know what? If you are this person, try to find someone who can do the things that you can't do in so high level that it could be work together with you. Did I make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand what you want to say. Yeah. Like, first of all, I think from what you just said, first of all, the most important thing is working on yourself to be the best
in your field
and not just to rely on one skill.
Yeah.
Like, for example, as you said, a pencilist, an inker, and don't do just one thing, because today it used to work like that. You know, in a big companies like Marvel and DC, they have for every single comics, they have the inker, they have the pencilist, they have the colorist. And today it's really hard working like that because everything needs to be so instant, so fast. So it's very easy when you do everything by yourself. Like, for example, we do everything by ourselves. Yuda is the inker, the sketcher, like the pencilist, the colorist, the everything. Like I do some of the stuff as well.
Is, yeah.
The everything is. Ooh, the everything is.
Maybe it should be the name for our sequel.
Yes.
The everything is. but yeah, I know what you think. What you're saying. How do I say it properly? You really need to put yourself in a place that, you know what? If you think about it, in the early years, I don't know the name of the eras, the Renaissance era, right?
Yeah.
When Michelangelo, Da Vinci, all of those artists, they didn't work in one field. They were an artist. They
inventors.
Knew how to sculpt. Yeah, an inventor, scientist, they can do a lot of things. And those times are coming back now because everybody has the privilege to gain knowledge through the internet, right?
And you don't need to be the best way.
Yeah, same as like the Matrix. You know, I know Kung Fu. Yeah. So everybody, you in these days, you cannot afford yourself to be good in one field.
Yeah.
You need to be at least in two or three fields so you can have a lot of power when it comes to creation.
Exactly.
So
when you want to involve someone else in your creation, when you have the knowledge in a lot of fields, you will know better who to pick to work with you. For example, us, it's very difficult for us for the artists, if you like, this is a great example for the artists, online series that we just created. This was an entire field that we're not doing. Like, we're not doing the videos. We're not a filmmakers.
So we needed to pick
the best people in their field, like, you know, the sound man, the cameraman, and for our luck, like, we work with amazing creator like ourselves, like Nir Shenhav, and he had all of this experience in the video industry, so he brought all of his knowledge.
He brought the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very important to connect to someone that have a lot of knowledge and what you want to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's amazing. I think that makes a ton of sense to, you know, have that knowledge across multiple fields so that you can really appreciate it when you see it in someone else too.
Exactly.
It makes it easier to have that communication with them. It would be hard for me to talk to artists, for example, if I didn't know art. I could say, wow, that's really pretty, but I couldn't say, like, oh, you've done these things to make it work.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you're a writer and you write, you know, like a children's book and you want someone to illustrate your book, it's very important to know a little bit about it. How does it work? So you can pick the right illustrator that will understand you, because it's not just the right hand or the right style. When you talk to the person, you need to have the perfect chemistry, that he knows that he understands you. He know how to make you better, that you can make him better. So it has to be like a positive work to grow each other, kind of, if it makes sense.
Yeah. So what ways have you two improved each other or lifted each other up?
Well, in my case, Maya, I become better in every field that I ever touched. I mean, let me give you a glimpse about who is Maya. She is the best. But why I'm saying it's because I thought that I'm a good artist. But when I knew Maya and she saw my art, she told me, yeah, I see you have a potential. And now I thought of myself that I'm the best. And she came and told me, yeah, you have a potential. You know what?
That's not true.
You're pretty good. You're pretty good. But with me, you're going to be the best.
No, that's not true.
No.
I never said that. Maybe I think like that sometime, but I never said that. No. So Yuda is, I call it, I don't know if it makes sense in English, but Yuda is a phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
It's like he's
A phenomenon,
he's and I will explain what I mean, because it's not just I want to say nice things about him because he is my husband and I love him, but truly, really, no, really.
God forbid, don't say it because of this. Because of that.
No, this is, yeah. I'm speaking like from outside clearly. He's a true, and I will explain it. He's a true genius. And why he's like that, first of all, he's self-taught. He taught himself everything that he knows. It's not true that maybe I help him to understand here and there stuff, but it's not true. He's the one that sits hours and hours and teaching himself still today.
Actually, there's an episode about it. When I don't illustrate, I illustrate.
Yeah, exactly. When you does not illustrate, he illustrates for fun. Like, this is not just
to
his work. This is his hobby. This is his life. And when I see it from outside, every single time I'm amazed by it, because he's a true genius. He can do everything, and he can learn really, really quick a lot of different things that help him to grow his art, his creation. He find interest in a lot of different subjects that are not related to art. For example, he's the master in anatomy. In the physical body, he knows a lot of weird stuff that kind of works together to create something new. And he's a true genius. I don't know how to say it otherwise. And to see him draw every single time, it's like I don't know if you saw the movie I, Robot with Will Smith in the past. It's like an old movie when you see the robot
Sunny.
He sketches like really, really quick.
Yeah.
Something that you see like a computer. And that's the way I'm seeing when Yuda's drawing, it's like that. He's like really, really quick, and it's just so accurate. And as I said, and as I always said, I need you to be the hands to my brain. He can contain so much knowledge and create from it the perfect creation. And that's by like a really hard work of learning. He's like a constant student. He never stopped learning. And he just, yeah, like Matrix. It's just, you know, plug something in here, and like, absorbing. Okay, this is what I need. Perfect. Wow. Perfect. That's how he works.
I really love the illustrate because, sorry, because if you think about it, when you illustrate, you actually turn imagination to reality. I mean, stuff that you see only in your head becomes something real when you illustrate. I mean, so when you think about it, when you achieve this thing that calls sketch, drawing a line, it doesn't matter what it is, but you translate something from your thoughts to reality, how can you not doing it every day with everything? I mean, it's like to be an inventor, I think. There's an inventor. It's an inventor, yeah. So this is the reason why I do so.
That's a really cool point of view on it that I've never thought of, is you're actually creating a reality from the ether. Like putting it on your tablet, putting it on paper, whatever. You're pulling that from nothing into something physical.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing that both of us actually, we don't have any strict rules about how we're doing stuff. You know, we're not, there's a, for example, there are a lot of traditional artists that say, oh, no, I don't draw from pictures or from references. I draw only by, you know, physical site. Or, for example, like this is a, there's a very one way to learn how to do anatomy or you know,
perspective.
Yeah, how to learn to do a perspective. So we don't have rules about that. We don't learn stuff like in the academic way. We just see, absorb, and if we like it,
we go with it.
We go with it. Doesn't matter. Like there are no rules how really to do stuff. If it looks and makes sense in our brain, we just create it.
And even if it's work good with our message, I mean, there's a lot of illustration in one of those days that you see, and you will, if you look at it, you see that the shading is not accurate.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's not accurate at all. The spotlight is here, but you have shadow over here and not here.
And there's a reason for it.
The shadow and the lighting and the colors are working for you.
Exactly.
For your message, for your reality. So yeah.
If you want the spotlight to be, for example, on my side boob, so I will do, so I will do the lightning on my side boob, even though it's not real.
Thank you for being polite. I'm talking about my head and you go.
Yeah, you know, as we said,
my wife.
We have no filters. Yes. Yeah.
Well, before we get too much further into this, we're getting close to the end of an hour already, which time just flies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much fun getting to talk to you guys, and you're such a wealth of knowledge. But what I would love to do is get some of the comments below and some of the questions that people have been asking to you so that they can have that chance to interact with you right now.
We actually didn't see any, like, the comments are stuck in our so you will need to read it for us.
No, we've got them. Don't worry. You guys don't have to stress that at all. But before we get into the Q&A, first off, people, you can leave your questions still. We do have producers pulling those comments for you. But also make sure to enter the caption contest on the work of the De Veers so that you can be entered to win a Wacom One tablet and also the first signed book from one of those days. That very book that you see right there, or if you're watching this later, right there.
I love it.
All right, so let's get into these questions. From Bothwell Xavier, they asked, how hard is it to avoid repetition? I've noticed always each angle seems fresh. So in your comic, how do you keep everything new and not repeating same stories?
Well, when it comes to stories, we cannot be repetitive about the story because we drew about ourselves and our real life. So
the way we choose the concept for every single week illustration, Yuda actually described it really, really well, you know, with a line, with a lifeline. You want to explain that?
Yeah.
So you will explain that.
You will explain it?
I will give the title. So our illustrations are based on emotions. We draw emotions. And Yuda will take it from here.
That was a good one. That was a burn. You want to explain? Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you. So when you, I like to look at our storyline, our life as a storyline, and I compare it to the flat line that you have on the monitor when people is dead. Okay. So this is the life that we're living in a flat line. Nothing is happening. Nothing. That's what you think. I mean, a lot of stuff happening, but you don't really notice to them. And
it's like a routine. Your life is a routine, and you're not noticing.
Wake up, drink coffee, go to work, come back, see Netflix, go to bed, and everything is the same. You don't pay attention to anything. And what we are drawing about is about the one beep when someone is coming to life. When there's a flat line and all of a sudden it's doot, and again the flat line, we're paying attention to this beep, right? And what this beep is, we don't know what this beep is going to be, but we address the feeling that we felt in this day or in the entire week. I mean, it could be happiness that we laugh from something, we don't know what, but we're going to try and investigate and try to think
to capture
what was the funny part. Yeah, it could be anger, it could be frustration, sadness, joy, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're paying attention to this beep on this flat line.
What was the exact moment that lit that feeling, that emotion, and that what we decide to draw and illustrate? And that's how we are not repeating subjects every single week. Even though we do have a lot of illustrations today, because we're creating for 4 years now, we do have some illustration that we did in the past. For example, we just drew about me not shaving during the winter, like my legs. Yeah. We drew it like 4 years ago. It was actually a very funny illustration.
And she became a werewolf.
Exactly, yeah. So I think I don't remember the name of the illustration back then, but it was in the very beginning of one of those days, and our style was very cartoonish, more doodly, and we decided, oh my god, it's the same. It's like every year the same, and we have to do it like in our own style today, in our in more involved style.
Yeah.
So we drew about it once again, and it's not if you draw about something twice, it doesn't mean that it has to be the same. Like for example, we drew about us getting pregnant for the first time, and then we needed to do another illustration about getting pregnant for the first time. How we do it, how we tell the story differently. Exactly. We need to think about how it's going to be different. And you need to think with yourself, how did you experience, how did you feel about the moment that you want to illustrate in the second time? And it will never be.
A philosopher that says you don't enter the same river twice.
It means that you're never getting river twice like as yourself. You're always a different person.
Yeah, and the waters keep
moving.
The waters keep moving, so it's not the same water that touched you, and you're not the same person
that was in the water in the first place. So, it's probably a Chinese person.
I know. I think it was Greek.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Don't be racist.
No racist. Both are smart. I would.
So let's see, let's get another question from Susie Cyclone. They say, do you ever take a break from working together? It must be difficult to always do everything together in home life and work life. So do you guys ever pursue different projects that are individual?
We want to do that, but it's very hard, like because we're only two people, as we said, we're still evolving. So we working. It's very natural for us to work together, but I do understand the need to create separately. For example, if you will check our DeviantArt page, you will find there a full
folder
album. Album of just Yuda's art.
Yeah, same,
it's very important.
Same as Instagram.
And same, yeah. I always send Yuda to do when he have a free time, which is not a lot of times, but when he have a free time and he need to practice his hand, it's very important for him to do something that it's other than one of those days. And I really, really try him to do it by himself. I actually doesn't even get inside the studio. He's like working alone until he finished the creation.
Which takes like 4 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Which I'm really lazy.
That free time, right?
Yeah. This is his time to get better.
Yeah, to practice. But as Maya said, when I'm not illustrate, I practice. I can't show you the library that we have over here.
Yeah.
With a lot of comic books and art books and whatever books that keep me fresh.
Yeah, this is our art Wikipedia right here on the library.
There's nothing better than like an artist's or an art school's library, because it's everything that you want to like read and look at.
Yeah, totally.
Always comic books, graphic novels, manga, like, and then you get like anatomy books and dynamic lighting and color theory. Yeah. Everything is meant to be beautiful.
If you're going to an art school, the first place you should visit is definitely the library. You will see there a whole world of new references that you never knew.
It's always the best to go there and find that. We did a shoot at a school in Los Angeles not long ago, before COVID. And I remember just like, I'm going to set up shop in their library. You can find me here. From Ardenovi, they want to know, what was the process like when you made that first book, when you worked with Random House?
What was the work process? So the book with Random House is actually a collection of our first three books. So our first three volumes, yeah. which was very short. It was every single book was kind of a collection of our work for entire year. Yeah. Like, for example, volume one was 2016-2017. And volume two, 2017 until 2019, and et cetera, et cetera. And the new book is a collection of the first three volumes. And we're so glad that we had the chance to work with them because the books was already existed and they have such an amazing professionals over there. They knew how to guide us to, because I'm a designer as well. So I knew exactly how to prepare everything for them. I knew exactly how I wanted the book to look like. So it was very easy communication with them because I felt like I'm working with other artists that know exactly what we do, and we kind of combined forces. It was very easy collaboration for sure. It was an amazing journey, by the way. We never thought that we will reach for Random House, but when we did, it was It felt like the Oscar for, I don't know, 50 years. Like, what? With Random House, the biggest publisher in the world? What? And we're like working from a tiny studio in Israel, in small Israel, way far.
All right, time for just a couple more quick ones. Mari Chan 97 wants to know, how can they learn about colors? Applying color to their artwork.
This is your field.
Yeah, this is my expertise. So you have two approaches. You can color in a realistic style. You know, if your skin is like this tone, you will, or my t-shirt is red, you will do it red. You can choose another approach like we do. We kind of combine the both. So you can pick colors according to what the message you want to convey. So
the feelings,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So you use the colors for your purposes. So you need to investigate. You can look online or just see with yourself what you experience. But if you cover yourself with red, what do you feel? If you cover yourself with black, what do you feel like? Do you feel open? Do you feel happy? Do you feel, I don't know, scared? Do you feel, what do you feel when you surround yourself with that color? So I think this is the way you should think in the first place.
You can also take references from comic books in the beginning of a fighting scene, you will see them standing in the background of a city, for example, and all of a sudden Captain America screaming Avengers Assemble, and there's a close-up on his face. Now his background is not the city anymore, it's like flat color with a lot of pointy, sharps, edge lines and stuff like that to enhance the movement of the shouting. So you can take a lot of the reference from this kind of comic books to see what color they choose and how it affects your understanding on the scene.
And we always, another rule that we always use when we choose color, we usually try to understand what's the most important object in the illustrator, in the illustration. For example, the characters, Yuda and I and Ariel. So our characters will always be more vibrant, like more enhanced in colors. And the background is going to be more flat in colors.
Monochrome.
Yeah, we use a lot of opposite color. For example, if we are warm, the background will be cold, or vice versa. So you will, your eyes will look exactly on what we want you to look at.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. I think that's all the time we have because Instagram crops us at an hour.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to watch The Hardest when it launches next week on the 25th on YouTube. We're very excited to see all the art that you continue to create for one of those days. And thank you again for all your knowledge, wisdom, expertise, and everything that you brought today.
Thank you so much for having us.
For hearing more information and have more knowledge about it. First of all, we're on DeviantArt, we're on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube,
everywhere.
And you can totally check out The Hardest, which is going to give you a more fuller, I don't know, a sense of how the life is of creator is really like. And we will love to see you there. And thank you for inviting us. It's like, if it wasn't for you, we would not be here. So thank you.
Of course. All right. Well, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. Make sure again to check out The Hardest on February 25th. Make sure to fill out the caption contest on DeviantArt. The link is in our bio.
You can win a
Wacom One tablet, a signed book. That one right there. Thank you so much for joining us. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Just saying that I didn't give any birth. Like, I didn't give birth. We were so nervous about it. Remember us talking a few days ago? And I said, I need to keep the baby in the belly a few more days just so we can do this.
And now we can go out free.
Now I can go to the hospital finally. Woohoo!
Well, we're very excited to hear when the baby does arrive. So keep us posted.